Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells. It gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. And when I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. What's up, ladies? Welcome back to another episode of Call Her Holy. I'm Laura Eldridge.
I'm Nicoletta Bradley.
Shoot, Grant, go for it.
I don't know about this. This is crazy. I just had a great intro. We weren't even recording, but we're back now. Hey, it's been a couple weeks for y'all. It's been a few minutes for us. We're excited to be back on the podcast and keep this thing rolling. Reese, what do you got to say for yourself?
You look just as good as you did 5 minutes ago.
Holy smokes. That's a miracle.
Do you guys still live together?
We do, actually. We've lived together, what, off and on, 3 years?
Three and a half, 4 years.
Sounds like a relationship. Don't have like a what bro a house, journey. Like a whole group of...
We had a frat house. Now we graduated and became men.
Yeah, we've down turned the bachelor three pad into more of like a upper 20s kind of got it going on-ish. Yeah. Like, this, it's a clean pad. We take care of it. There's not two couches anywhere.
Is your house clean?
It's very clean.
It's actually really clean.
So Reese and Sarah, my roomies, OCD about being clean, which is massive for me. So the place is always spotless, looking good. It's ready to host. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, let's have a good time.
That's good. Time. Way to go, guys. Way to go. Colby's house, when he was single, was like way cleaner than ours is right now because, you know, when you have a kid, you kind of survive.
Wait, is Colby the clean one?
Oh, yeah.
What about you?
Wow.
I'm clean. Okay. I'm just not tidy. Like, I have piles. The laundry that's on the couch.
Clutter. Yeah,
I don't like to clutter, but I kind of like. Yeah. I'm like that.
Like
naturally.
You said,
when
you have a kid, you survive in advance at this stage.
Yeah,
of the game.
No kid. And it's your first one. You're just figuring it out.
Also, yeah, I've always been the artsy, like the creative. You know what I mean? I get up in the middle of the night and write songs. The organized chaos. It's just there. And I feel some judgment
chaos
coming. Listen, I feel some judgment
chaos was
coming
embodied
from
a
all
person. It'd be Laura.
Well, judgment coming from all angles of this room. So, anyone else who is not OCD, I'm your people.
See, I'm clean if it affects somebody else. Like, my room is not always clean, but the kitchen and the living room, I will keep tidy.
Yeah, shared space.
Yes, keep it tidy. But like my room, I'm like,
it's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah,
I love it. Wow, you guys.
So basically what I'm saying is, if you're looking for a clean, single man,
I'm impressed.
Reese Summerlin.
No, I'm really impressed.
Seriously, OCD does all the dishes for me. Mops up everything. It's unbelievable, ladies. It's a full package.
I'm
essentially
a
godly
maid.
I love it. Well, we're not talking about cleaning today, but you guys can probably tune into these guys' Instagrams and maybe they'll do some tutorials for you.
we'll get Reese in a nice blouse. Give them a little mopping duty.
Oh my God.
Give the people what they want.
Do you guys cook as well?
I won't do it for free.
Reese does.
I cook, yeah. Grant, I'm waiting for the day when I see Grant cook. It'll be a miracle.
No, you buy everything. I even know that about you.
Y'all, I am obsessed with Flower Child, E.T.'s, and Chipotle. I live off of this stuff. I just don't have the time to cook. It's efficient.
Yeah.
It's called
He's
in
a
ahead
busy
of time.
Guy. He's a busy guy.
All right.
Don't live your life.
It is Come efficient. On. Okay, one thing we haven't trolled yet is, like, Grant, you're dating someone.
Yeah.
Tell us everything.
Oh. What do you want to know? You want the 1 minute skinny, 2 minute skinny, 30 minute skinny? We can roll on this.
I have a question.
Let's have a Q&A.
Okay, so, well, background. You are a great guy. You love the Lord. You're good looking. I can keep going, but we'll stop there.
Please, don't.
Also, if you didn't tune in the last episode, yes, my ex-boyfriend is in the room. It's not Grant, the one I'm complimenting. I'll compliment.
She's bashing.
Reese, you're awesome too. But Grant, back to you. Anyways, you are someone that I respect a lot. And you, when you find a girl that you think is great, I feel like you are good at initiating, pursuing, getting to know, and asking out. Okay, would you agree with that? I feel like that's
really good. I would concur. Yeah. I don't want to waste anyone's time or emotions, and so I like to have a clear-cut answer as soon as I can.
Totally, and I love that about you. Okay, so you've dated multiple awesome girls. Obviously, didn't work out. No hard feelings. What makes this different? What made you decide to date?
She's taking your girlfriend? You guys to the altar. Wow.
Chill, dog. Chill. Hey. No, I'm just kidding. We're feeling good about it. That's a very interesting question. I to your point, I feel like I've dated some awesome godly girls who, again, I would recommend for any of my guys to date if they ever asked questions. But for some reason, there was not a peace about it. There's an unsettledness. And I gave it opportunities. I gave it time. I gave it multiple dates to just see if whatever was not peaceful would kind of get over the hump. And it just never did.
So you're not talking about 6 month, 12 month relationships that you broke up. You're talking about like we went on a couple dates and then.
Yeah, we went on a handful of dates, from 3 to 5 to 8 dates. I mean, if you're in a relationship that long with no peace, like that is a problem. You are at that point, going to break each other's heart.
Yeah. That's good.
But no, this one's a lot different. I'm going to name drop her first name, Peyton. I know you're listening to this.
Oh, you heard it here.
What's up, baby?
Wow, I love
this. But no, first date. I was starstruck a little bit within 5 minutes. I'm like, oh boy, I'm in a lot of trouble here. This is really good. And I try not to get too far ahead of myself and guard my own heart and my own mind. But she has just been so complimentary to my personality. We love a lot of the same things, a lot of the same humor. She loves the Lord. She serves at the same church that I go to. There's just a lot of things that add up on paper, but then off paper, the chemistry is just there. And we have such a good time together.
Okay, so then how about... I feel like a lot of girls will ask the question, like, right, what is it? The line that's like, right girl, wrong time. Mm. What are your thoughts on that?
So I think there's a little bit of truth to that. But I also think that, again, the sovereignty of God in our dating lives cannot go unnoticed. It cannot be overlooked. So I think ultimately in his perfect time, his choice for us is going to come through and we're going to be good. But I do think there's so many seasons where either the guy's not ready, the girl's not ready, you meet somebody that you think might be a great match, and it just doesn't work out. And it sucks, and it's not cool. Like, we can address that and say that it does suck. But at the same time, God's going to use that moment to prepare you again for hopefully his choice at the end of the day. So there is a lot of right girl, wrong time out there, but at the end of the day, it is the wrong girl if it is not the wrong time, if it's not the right time.
Yeah, I was going to add to that. So, I mean, I know Tanner and Lauren were on this podcast a few weeks ago, and their story is... Lauren essentially ghosted a couple of times. And so I think it was like 3 months later after they initially were texting that they actually like got
together. And she came back and apologized.
She came back. Yeah. But, Tanner would tell you that he moved on and he wasn't waiting on her. And so like I'm of the opinion that like you should just move on and you shouldn't wait as if it's going to work out. Move on as if it's not going to work out.
It's good.
And if God is going to... If God wants it to happen, he's going to make it happen.
Totally.
That's good.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's funny. I have gotten on TikTok recently, and the number one video is the one that I'm like, do not think that if God wants you to meet your husband in a freaking gas station, you'll run into him at a freaking gas station in the middle of nowhere. And it's funny that all these girls are like, I've never thought about that. But I'm like, do you not understand who God is and how small you are? Mm-hmm. Like, he is a God that leads. And I love what you said about peace. And I can understand that that's probably a trigger word for whether that be a girl or a guy.
Right.
It's like, oh, they didn't have peace about me. Like, you can get pissed.
Right. Or,
because some people use it as a cop out.
Totally. Or you can view it as God's kindness. One thing that I'm just going to go there with me and Reese, like, you didn't have peace at the end of our last round go around. And I did have peace about our last go around. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. But then you didn't. And now looking back a year later, I can see how if it weren't for you not having peace, we would have moved forward in a direction that now Noble wouldn't exist.
Yep.
So I look back on our relationship and I go, oh my gosh, like first it was rejection and it was hurtful at the moment. But in a year and a half later, I looked at it and I'm like, that is so kind of the Lord to give somebody else a non or like a lack of peace
yeah.
to end the relationship and something that I probably wouldn't have, which you can look at peace as kindness if you change totally. Your perspective.
Yeah. So how's the peace feeling now? You guys just make eye contact. Just look at each other for 30 seconds and then we'll decide.
Tell me there's some fire in the eyes. I actually do want to bring up one more thing about the word peace in relationships. I think a lot of people can get trapped in if they don't feel peace on the first or second relationship. They're like, oh, I'm out.
First or second date, yeah.
I'm out. I don't know. I don't feel this up front. I'm out of here. I just want to say I've heard 90% of the stories of people dating, working out, getting married, where it starts with 5, 10, 15, 20 dates where they don't feel peace. By the end of the day, they're having a good time. They both love the Lord. There's no clear red flags for them to not keep saying yes to a date. And then after all this time, boom, it clicks. And they end up finding their spouse. This happened to my sister, my brother-in-law, and they had a honeymoon baby named Knox. He's the cutest little baby ever, 7 months old. He was a lion yesterday for Halloween. But I say all that to say, like, don't be discouraged if you do not know right away or have overwhelming peace or excitement about someone who asked you out on a first date. Like, give it some time. If there's no red flags of why you shouldn't say yes and you had a good time and you know the reputation, keep saying yes to a date. You have no idea what it's going to lead to.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think people feel so much pressure to know right away that this is my husband or this is my wife. And I think some of it is the whole fairy tale thing. It's because you grew up having a crush and like you were so infatuated with this person that you didn't know. And then now you have a real person that's in front of you and you're kind of scared and you're going to pick apart their flaws. You're going to, you know, he's not as tall as I thought he'd be. He's not as whatever. Like, I don't know if he's nervous or not funny or whatever it is. And it's just like, let it, like, it's okay.
Yep.
Take a deep breath. Just have fun. Enjoy it and see what God does.
Yeah, I'd say try and steer away from the comparison aspect because we have friends that, you know, they knew immediately. And then you have other friends that are like, man, it took me a whole year before I knew. And so, you know, don't rule out the possibility of like, hey, there could be really something here and, you know, I might want to see it through. But it's really easy to kind of fall in the mindset of like, oh, it didn't work out after three dates. I saw my friend over here. He knew after like three dates. And so therefore, I'm just going to cut it off.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a really good point. Okay, so obviously y'all are awesome. You found a girl that you're really interested in. Reese is still single. So what do you feel like are the things that as you're dating, as you are pursuing, do you guys have checklists? Like, do you have a list of things that you're like, oh man, like if she doesn't hit all these boxes,
it was not a good idea having that around.
You had a checklist?
In my mind. I didn't.
Do you have a physical checklist?
No.
In his mind. But in his mind. But tell us what it was.
Grant's like, shut up.
Are you saying it was a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, it was a bad thing. I trapped myself in too small of a box. Again, unrealistic expectations that the world put on me. I'm like, hey, one, God's choice for me is going to be better than my choice, even if she checks every single box. And two, I'm missing out on amazing godly women that I don't need to be missing out on. So we ripped that sucker up. If it was physical, that'd be crazy if I actually had a list like that. Definitely didn't have
one. Can you imagine?
He's ripping it apart under the table. Yeah, you know, he's the literally thing.
Yeah. Like, Grant, put that away. You can't read off that thing.
Delete that note.
So what would you say to the person who has a checklist right now? Like, okay, actually, no, I have been kind of holding out thinking like this exact guy would come along, or I don't want a cowboy and this guy asking me out as a cowboy, you know?
Hey, Reese has recently turned to a cowboy. Ladies, if you're looking for a little Jesus loving
I dabble in it. I listen to country music now.
Okay, so girls always want to ask, like, what do guys look for? What would you answer that question?
Yeah, I think there's certain things that are essential in the sense of like what guys hold to. That's basically a non-negotiable, right? So I think there's a big difference between going to church and being a consumer of a church versus like being invested in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I mean by that is, you know, is she serving? Is she part of a group Bible study or like have a mentor of women that are speaking truth in her life? Because if she's just being led by her own biases and her own things that she wants to do, then that's not super healthy, right?
Yeah.
And so ultimately, does she hold the Bible as authority in her life? And I think from that, you can draw a lot of conclusions with that.
Love it.
I'll add on to that from a biblical perspective, then we can kind of get into the weeds. Again, it just goes back to the ABCs. Are you guys reading the Bible? Are you guys getting to pray? Again, Jesus says you can tell a tree by the fruit that it bears. Like, godly guys can notice if you are spending time with Jesus, you're not. You're rubbing off, like, he is rubbing off on you. We can see that. Teresa's point, do you have a community? Do you have a great group of girls who's pushing you toward the Lord, who's sanctifying you, who's calling out sin, yeah, and encouraging you when you're doing well? And then are you serving? I mean, at the end of the day, like, we have a Lord and we have a Savior who came down and served us.
Yeah.
Like, when I see a girl with a servant heart building up other people, putting herself in a back seat and championing others to bring their lives up, I'm like, this is amazing. This is exactly the kind of wife we want one day and exactly the type of mother we want one day.
Okay, well, let's just go here. What about to the girls? Because and some of the most gorgeous girls are some of the most insecure. Like, I've seen it time and time again. Some of the prettiest girls I know are like, okay, you have more insecurity than the least pretty girl I know, who seems prettier because she carries around this confidence. But regardless of how pretty or how whatever the situation is, I think girls can struggle with, like, hey, I'm not getting asked out because I'm a little too fat, or I'm not getting asked out because they just don't think I'm pretty, or there are prettier options. And I think girls can see this happen where guys ask out girls who are a little bit less godly, but they're a little bit hotter. And then they're like, wait, why am I over here reading my Bible? Because this isn't working. Like, I'm doing all the right things, and now I'm getting mad because, you know, it's not working. The godly guys are supposed to be interested in that, and they're going after the hot girls. What would you say to that?
Totally. One, I would say God sees you. And he cares for you, and he loves you, and he knows that that is a tough position to be in mentally. But I'd also say that, like scripture says, you know, singleness is a gift. Like, there is a sweet season where your attention is going to be undivided unto the Lord wholly. And when you get married, your attention is divided, which is also a good thing. But I would just say, hey, God sees where you're at. He knows where you're at. He's not forgetting about you. Again, if it's his will for you to be married, that you will get to be there one day. And you were trained for that to be a great thing. And then something that a mentor always told me back in the day was master, mission, mate. Like, master, like, who is the Lord of your life? Or is your relationship with Jesus rock solid right now? Okay, check. We got that going on. Mission, what is your mission in your life? Are you loving and serving and being on mission for the gospel of God for other people? Boom, check. And I'm not saying this is biblical where you knock those two out and you automatically get married. But man, if you get those two buttons lined up in your life, you just look to your right, to your left, and you can eventually find a mate doing that. And so I would say the girl who is discouraged that she's still single and doing the right things, like, hey, keep pouring in your master, keep pouring into your mission. Eventually, Lord willing, a mate can come along, but that is where your satisfaction is going to be at. Enjoy that time. You'll never get to be single again in your life. Enjoy that time.
Okay, so how much should that girl focus on her physical attributes? Because we know it's not like, here's what they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear just like, oh, guys don't care about that. Because that's not true. Yeah.
No,
you know what I mean?
True.
That's not true. You guys
it plays a role.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think what happens is a lot of girls over-focus on that because they think that's all guys care about, which I don't think that's true either.
Yeah.
Because a lot of girls, and before you speak, a lot of girls are like, if I was just thinner, I would be dating someone.
Exactly. Yeah.
They are godly, cute girls. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the things that I think guys look for, especially that we, you know, G and I have active lifestyles, like we love doing sports, we love being active, is there a desire to be active? Not in the sense of like, you should work out all the time and that's all you talk about and that should be your goal. But like, is there a desire to be active? Because I think that shows discipline, right? And so if we believe in 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, that we truly are a temple of the Holy Spirit, then we want to steward our bodies well. And so to that, I think there is a right way of like looking of like, yes, it's attractive when girls want to take care of themselves in the same way that guys should take care of themselves. But that's not the ultimate thing that we look at.
That's good.
And what was the second part? What was the second part of your question?
What'd you tell the girl who thinks she's not getting asked out because she's not pretty enough?
Well, I was gonna answer as far as, you know, I think you mentioned, Nico, that you see guys that are really more visual people, to be honest, with that, you know, they might initially be attracted to the best looking girl in the room.
Yeah.
But honestly, at the end of the day, that might draw you in, but that's not going to keep you.
Yeah.
If you ask her out and you learn quickly of like, man, this girl is not serious about her faith, or she's not really like walking with the Lord and there's some character issues here, then that's not going to keep you regardless of how attractive you are.
Yeah, I'll say this. You are who you attract. If you're using your body to attract these guys, you're attracting guys who just want you for your body. Mm-hmm. And if they get that or if they don't get that, they're going to drop you immediately when that happens. And so just, again, godly men can see through that. They can see your heart. They can see your character. They can see your compassion, all the fruits of the spirit, right? And I'd say to the girl that's not getting asked that where she's at, hey, maybe change up your playmates in your playground. Yeah. Maybe the guys there are timid or, you know, chasing unicorns or just not ready to date. Like, it's okay to extend yourself into different friend groups. And if your girl's affirm that, hey, you're in a place to date and, like, you're fun to be around and got all these things going on for you, change your playmates up. Yeah. See if there's anybody else around your church or community or whatever that you can go hang out, have fun with, get to know. Again, worst case scenario, you're getting to know a bunch of guys and new girls that you're going to spend an eternity with. That's a win. But yeah. Again, you might just find somebody who sees you for who you are.
Should they get on dating apps?
Are Christian guys on dating apps?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Christian guys on dating apps.
A guy in my community group, Phyllis, just got married from a dating app.
Yeah.
I personally have not tried it. I tried farmersonly.com one time and got me some women.
So that's how I met Peyton. Peyton,
yeah, she's a good old farm girl. She got a little dip in the back pocket, drives that 1979 Chevy Silverado, baby.
Yep, sign me up.
Well, Reese, didn't you just buy a truck and a cowboy hat and cowboy boots and listen to country music?
Yeah, so I'm trying. city guy to country guy. Yeah.
On the dating app, I don't personally do it, but I don't think that there's a problem with it. I would be so upfront about, like, your faith and your relationship with Jesus and, like, what you do. Don't be trying to, what is the term? Catfish somebody.
No, yes.
Okay, yeah. Don't be trying to do that. Listen, I get so confused, and this question comes up all the time. Like, should you know on the first date, or I'm not sure he's a Christian. I'm like, what? How? Because the godly men are looking for somebody who leads with that because they're also leading with that. Like, none of us sitting at this table would ever get on a dating app and be like, I like country music, trucks, and whatever. We'd be like, Jesus is it. You know what I mean?
100%. Because totally. All the other guys on the dating app, I'm not going to speak for all of them, but, like, they're on it for different reasons than finding a godly woman.
Exactly.
So if you're not showing that out, somebody else who you're not going to want to date in the first place is going to show up.
Yeah. Exactly. So you should know from the beginning, because the guy who's looking for that is also, you know, going to be the one doing that.
Yeah, I was going to say that you can easily tell by the fruit of how someone portrays themselves, whether they are rocking with the Lord or whether they're not. And I think when you meet somebody, it's going to be very apparent how they, you know, how they carry themselves. And so I think to that as well, as far as dating app, personally, it's not my first choice, I would say. We are also in a bigger church where there are a lot of godly women. Mm-hmm. And so there's, for me personally, I'm like, hey, why don't we start the church? And then if it really comes down to it, we could be open to going on dating apps. But I'd say first choice is going to be your community.
Okay, I gotta, I need to throw some shade. Can I?
Oh,
sure.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
this is what we've been waiting for. So
we're in a bigger church. You guys are, you know, godly, attractive single men, and you have, you know, lots of different friends. Do guys, I just won't call you guys out. Do guys in general, like, hop from group to group to see if they can wife anybody up?
I personally haven't seen that between, I'll say this. So Grant and I have had a lot of friends that have gotten married over the years. Community has obviously changed, right? So I've been in, like, 3 or 4 different community groups just because, like, you know, guys getting married left and right. And so, like, organically, your community is going to shift a little bit over the years as people get married. But I personally haven't seen a ton of, like, hey, I'm done with this friend group. I'm just going to move on to another friend group.
What about groups of girls?
That's what I'm talking about.
Because, like, I think that's pretty common in Dallas.
I'm saying, like, do guys move from one group of girls to the next to be like, okay, are any of these girls my wife? There. And then it's like, okay, you've learned, like, the answer is no. But you've been spending a time with them, so they're starting to be like, wait, now I have a crush on him. You like this one. You like this one. And then the guys are like, wait, none of y'all are my wife, so I'm moving on. Does that happen?
I don't see that often. I really don't. To Teresa's point, it has been organic change, not a tactical, where do I find my wife? Here's one group over here.
Is oh
my
so gosh.
Here's our Friday night group. Here's our movie group. Here's our pickleball group. Like, where's my boo thing at? Like, let's go conquer and destroy. You know what I'm saying? I don't see that.
So y'all are more just having fun. You're like, hey, let's get a group of people together. And if she happens to be there, that's great. But, like, we're just chilling, having fun.
See, does that happen with some guys? I'm sure. There's always wolves in sheep's clothes. So, like, be careful for that. But I would say that most of the guys in our church do not do that.
Yeah. Oh, he called them wolves.
What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's bad to, like, get a part of a new friend group, right? So, like, you know, if you get involved, like, a newer ministry, like, I've been serving at the Porch for about a year. And so through that, I've got to meet a ton of new people through that. And so I've gotten invited to Finger Ping Out. It's like organically through that. And like, I'm not going to say no to that. Like, it's an opportunity to meet new people. So I don't think it's bad to jump into another friend group, but also maintain that like you have good friends.
Totally.
And you don't just want to like sell them out.
Yeah. Okay. I want to touch on this because I actually want to speak, because I think a lot of girls actually believe that in the Christian culture that these guys will just hop from group to group to group to find their wife, find that it's not there, and then move on. What I want you ladies to hear what they just said is that it's unintentional, or it's just like, I love what you just said. I just got invited to this thing and I want to go. And I think that once again, we have to remind ourselves that these are our brothers in Christ. Like, we have a choice to believe the best or believe the worst. And I think that Christian culture, especially in dating, can be so savage, especially in friend groups, because it's like, okay, this group of guys hangs out with my group of friends on a Friday, but then on Saturday, they hang out with this group of girls. Oh, they're the worst. When that's not necessarily true. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like that happens a ton, and it's just unfair.
Yeah, I think there could be this culture like that you're talking about, Nico, where girls demonize guys. Why hasn't he asked anyone out? Or why don't they like any of us? And it can feel so frustrating. And I do empathize with the girls, because there is this point of girls and probably guys to some extent are wrestling with, like, I have all these feelings and like frustrations and thoughts and observations that I'm having to come to terms with, to grapple with. Okay, I need to wrestle with, okay, he's not asking me out, he doesn't like me, you know? So there's that whole world. And then there's the whole like world of what is truth? You know, who is God to me regardless of what happens? And how do I have healthy relationships? And how can I just honor God and be everything that I was made to be? So I think all these insecurities with all the, I love God and I just want to follow him and tell myself what's true, they kind of like go hand in, they're in everyone's brain at the same time.
Right.
It's kind of a lot to process through.
No doubt. Again, it wasn't designed to be that way either. It's just the culture that we're in. And it's made dating, especially in the Christian community, a lot harder than it needs to be. And whatever we can do to simplify that in dating community, like, we should be championing that. We should all be helping each other out in that way.
Yeah, believe the best, y'all. Like, whether that be for guys or girls.
Okay, so but with that, like, would you tell the girl who's hung up on a guy friend who hasn't been asking her out, would you tell her just like, hey, it's time to move on? Like, he's not asking you out.
Again, either go up to him and be like, hey, what the freak's going on? I've been throwing some vibes. You've been throwing them back. Like, let's talk about this. Let's flesh this out. And if you do not get the response there, you do not want to do that, move on. Absolutely. Right. There's a lot of good guys out there.
Yeah, I love it. And I think that what we talked about last episode, like, hey, if a guy's not willing to initiate that, then move on.
All right, ladies, y'all heard that. He was talking to you. You're not the exception.
Can I like pivot us though and have some, can I pivot us and have some fun?
Do it.
Oh, let's do it.
Okay, I like really want to touch about the hot topic of red flags.
I was like, is she about to ask Reese out?
I have been waiting 2 years to go to this interview with you.
Roses. Is that a flash mob coming up?
Is that a ring? Oh,
oh my gosh.
Double wedding. We could do a double wedding.
Two for one.
You and Peyton.
Red flag. They propose on the first date.
That's a bad one.
Speaking of red flags.
Were you saying red flags? Like, what are red flags?
In girls dating, we get a ton of DMs from girls of like, what are red flags for dudes? What are red flags for dudes?
Yeah.
I know. I feel like y'all are fun. You're also wise. So I want the good, the bad, the ugly, the funny.
What red flags do you see in Nico?
We'll start off with.
That's what we really want to know. Get the list.
I love constructive feedback.
We'll start off with some fun ones. Sometimes mine comes to fashion. There is like this trend of flare jeans. I'm talking specifically.
This
like
is actually true.
Bell bottoms. I did give this feedback.
Wide leg jeans. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You look like you're wearing a parachute. You know, like the wind, if it picks up, it's going to take you away.
So what's the alternative? Like, you want them to wear skinny jeans?
Just anything other than bell-bottom jeans. You know? Just like, you can wear mom jeans. I rock with mom jeans.
Mom jeans
are great.
Okay.
They don't have to be skinny.
All right. So you're saying don't be relevant?
Yeah.
No, I'm messing with you. I'm totally messing with you. No, I think that's good because I think girls can feel a lot of pressure to just be like, you want to be on trend, you want to be cute, but then a lot of things girls think are cute, guys don't think are cute.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why the scripture says, don't wear your clothes.
I have a few other ones, but I don't want
to. Yeah, say it. Come on. Come on, go.
You ripped your list.
Okay. Yeah, once again, ladies, you were made. Personal preference.
This is.
We'll dive deep into these. These are also fun,
not negotiable.
You were made for this moment. Reese.
Yeah, these aren't in the sense of like, hey, if she actually does this, I want to.
Yeah, no. Just fun.
Starbucks. Let's talk about it. It's not coffee. If you like coffee at Starbucks, you don't have a coffee palate.
I literally was thinking, man, Reese didn't get Chipotle tonight. Maybe I'll send him a Starbucks gift card.
Oh, that's fine. Now I know why it didn't work out.
He's bougie with coffee. Yeah. I think he wouldn't like that.
Strikes two and three right there, Nico. The math is adding up.
Yep, the math is adding up. I don't think these women exist anymore, but if you have an Android, then that is proceed with caution.
I think one of our editors do.
Well,
edit that out.
She's in a committed relationship, though. She's not looking for you.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, good for her. Good for him.
These are personal preferences. Yeah.
No, these are personal preferences. No, that's kind of funny. I think some of those things make up a personality. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I don't like Starbucks coffee. Like, I think it's... Are you in the organic scene at all? I know you're gluten-free.
No, my mom is, but I didn't.
Yeah, so Starbucks coffee is apparently really moldy. I still drink it sometimes.
Moldy?
It's like really... Coffee is one of the highest mold crops. I'm really crunchy. I don't talk about that a lot on the podcast.
Wow.
But yeah, like I can give you guys a rundown.
So is that a good thing or a bad thing that it's moldy?
It's kind of a bad thing. Yeah.
Like your mold toxicity level can be dangerous to your health. Yeah. But you also like,
you already got
I know, but
energy.
There's a balance because you want to get organic because coffee is one of the highest pesticide sprayed crops.
Yes.
So
that's true.
You're definitely not getting organic at Starbucks. This episode is not sponsored by Starbucks.
But it should be.
But it could be.
One investors could be you. Starbucks calling.
Last one.
Anyway.
What's the deal with cottage cheese? Why?
Oh, it's disgusting.
It's so nasty.
Are you serious right now? Okay, I like cottage cheese.
Oh,
why?
And my daughter loves it.
It's literally aged milk.
Yeah.
It's casein protein, so it keeps you full
She's
longer.
She's crunchy, boys. She's crunchy.
Okay, looking at me like I'm crazy.
She's crazy.
Lauren might be the exception. If you're committed to celibacy, keep having cottage cheese.
Okay, Colby eats cottage cheese too, though. He was a bodybuilder, so he's
how much protein? You two are perfect for each other.
How much protein can I get if possible? Oh my gosh. I'm about to throw shade at you. Tell us Nico's green flags.
Yeah.
Tell us why you're not dating Nico. No, I'm just messing with you. I'm messing. There we
go. Grant, that's all I got. I want to hear some of yours.
Are we doing funny or are we doing serious?
We're doing fun, yeah.
Okay, fun. We're just going to rip through these. I'm going to go as fast as possible. If you have any questions, call me out, okay? Ladies, red flags. If you are a blogger, if you're ever a pageant girl, if you're ever a girl who grew up and never watched SpongeBob, if you're a girl who is too outspoken politically, especially in the wrong setting, if you say too many unironic pop culture slangs, I swear, if I hear the word slay, period, or it's the blank for me, dog, 17 times on the first date, I'm jumping out the back window. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be controversial. The diehard Swifties.
Oh,
let's talk about it real quick. What's up, real quick? 90% of women. Hey, pause. Everybody, reel it back in. Bring it back in. Taylor Swift killing the game. She just became a billionaire. She is on top of the music world. I like Taylor Swift. All right. Wildest Dreams shakes me to my core every time I see it. I love that song. But here's the thing, ladies. If you have seen the Taylor Swift concert and movie 3+ times and have a poster of Travis Kelce in your room, we're gone. That is a red flag.
Because she's also under 18 if she does that. If she has a Travis Kelce poster in her room.
No, we know one immediately.
I hope you listen to this podcast.
Yeah, she knows. You know who you are.
I know who you are.
God has a different guy for you.
Last one. This is like half serious, half kind of funny. Please know how to travel. Like, if we have to go through TSA security and you get dinged 3 different times and don't take off your shoes or take your laptop out and we're making a big commotion, that's a problem.
We're out. I'm out on you.
Come on, know how to travel, ladies.
No, that's really funny. That's really funny.
So any questions, comments, concerns in that?
So don't wear bell bottoms, don't drink Starbucks, don't like Taylor Swift, and know how to travel.
Yeah.
If you ladies complete any of those boxes, again, Reese is single, slide into his DMs after this podcast. He's ready.
He will be tagged on our Instagram, so.
You might have to fight Nico, but he is ready.
I swear, if any of you DM my ex, I swear.
They're probably going to be DMing you, Nico, saying, listen, I know this is weird, but can you connect me with Reese?
And then I will literally slide him your Instagram profile. Yeah. Be like, yes. Scroll down and you see some photos of me. Keep going.
Okay, we've had some fun. Listen, okay, one thing y'all need to know, you've heard this before on the podcast, Leslie's first non-negotiable, my friend Leslie, who's the wedding planner, it literally, you heard an episode if you were here in probably February, did we do that? It was about wedding planning. So it was called It Could Happen, Planning a Wedding. Anyways, so a little bit of her story, like her first thing, it was like number one. She has a physical list like you, Grant, that she had to rip up. I don't know what you're talking about. It was like number one, no tattoos. Number two, loves Jesus. That was literally her list. And her husband is covered in tats. Like he is literally covered in tats. So those fun things, like God can override them. Like you mentioned, Reese, like there's preference. And it can be this funny thing. Like, okay, I thought I wanted a girl who knew how to do TSA, who, you know, didn't like Taylor Swift, who whatever. All these things.
Know how to travel, ladies.
You're not helping my point. You're not helping my point here. We got to be on the same team here for a second. Yeah.
I firm him.
No, like God really can do whatever. Y'all need to know. Don't overthink things like that, ladies. I think also there is something to God's sovereignty in giving different interests and different like personality quirks and different, you know, like, yeah, interests like that allow you to connect with different people strategically.
Totally.
He's
and
in that.
And I feel like, I mean, I've had crushes on boys in this last year that completely opposite of anyone I ever thought I would date, because he didn't line up to anything of this quote-unquote list I had in mind, but he was like passionate about Jesus, and it made things like fashion slowly disappear, which was a top one for me for a while, and then God humbled me fast. Anyways, what about some good red flags? Or I don't know if that's the right way to say it.
And now that you guys have every girl on edge on this podcast listening right now.
We can do some real ones.
Yeah, for sure.
You want to start off first?
Yeah, I would say, ladies, be mindful of your Instagram. When a guy is first interested in a girl, you can go to their Instagram and learn a lot of... I would say you learn more red flags than anything really quickly. So an example would be like, if you're posting just a lot of solo pics, it could come across as like, hey, you might just want attention a lot. If you're posting a lot of maybe like skimpy photos, then it might be like, hey, I just want this guy to be attracted to my body. And as soon as that goes, then he's no longer going to be there, right? And so there's certain things that you can post that can definitely steer guys away. And so I would just be mindful of like what you post on social media.
Yep, that's a good one. Cannot agree with that more. I would say one for me is just gossip. It's something very easy for all of us to get into, but I think when you get around girls and they start talking about other people who aren't in the group, one, we notice that as guys, and two, if they are talking about their exes specifically and talking bad or just talking a lot about ex-boyfriends, I'm like, yo, that's a red flag. You know, that kind of just shows me that a heart that has not moved on yet might still be bitter, and again, not taking away from that because breakups suck, but it's like, hey, let's go find some healing. Let's go find some time to actually talk about this in an appropriate setting.
Yeah, not around, not around random people. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
I think another one, I think we kind of share this, flirty. If you are super flirty, this guy, you know, this obviously can go for guys and girls, but it can easily show that you don't actually want to commit to one person and you just constantly are bouncing around. And so that can be super unattractive very quickly to a guy.
This one's gonna be a dagger to the heart a little bit, because guys have a fault into this red flag with girls, but girls who try and take charge and lead relationships too strong up front. I love that women are strong-willed and some of them are wired that way, but if you're the ones trying to drive every conversation and drive every movement and boundary and guideline, guys will be spooked by that. Guys want to be respected. Girls want to be loved. Guys want to be respected. And so if you're trying to take their role away from them, that is going to spook the majority of guys.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I talk about that kind of frequently. I think one of the other things that it does for guys, tell me if you agree with this, is it takes, like, they want to be able to have the option to lead. Sometimes it takes away the space for them to be like, hey, I can't even think about if I'm going to like you because you're taking all the control here, you know?
100%. And a lot of the things is, guys haven't been given opportunities to lead, and so as they step into that with baby steps and maybe they build a lot of confidence, they become a very, very good leader. You know, you can't lead in a relationship until you're actually in one, right? And so give them the space, give them the freedom to do that. It's still good to have a strong will, but like, rein that back and do it appropriately.
But here's the thing, like, I think a lot of girls think, oh, he'll lead in marriage or he'll lead in the relationship, but I can lead everything leading up to that. And it's like, no, why would he just flip that switch on? He's not going to.
You're not training him to lead in the marriage. And again, you're going to spook the guy before he gets in because he wants to lead up front. Like, that is an amazing opportunity for him to go and serve you well and initiate and serve you like Christ would serve you.
Or you'll find a guy who is really passive. And it's going to frustrate you at some point in your life because then you're going to wonder why he's not leading. And it's like, okay, you literally trained him for passivity from day one. So what do you expect?
Yeah, I think at that point, if he's not going to lead in the dating time, then he's not going to lead in marriage, right?
Exactly.
So like, it's not a switch that you're just going to turn on.
Exactly.
Okay. What else? Any last ones?
I would say just being self-absorbed. Like, if you are having conversation with a girl and she only talks about herself and the things that are going on in her life, doesn't make any intention to get to know you, then that can quickly be like, she's a little bit self-absorbed. That's gonna be hard to get around, you know, if you're only interested in yourself.
This one's just kind of random. It just kind of came to mind, but cussing. If you ladies are slinging out some words that are just unbecoming of godly women, like, guys notice that. And hey, sometimes people get frustrated and you slip up once, whatever. But if you're around a girl who just has a sailor's mouth, it is an automatic no.
That's really sweet. I like that you use the word unbecoming of godly women, because what that communicated is that you guys really are looking for women who carry themselves, who believe that they are God's daughters and who carry themselves like that. Who are like, hey, I'm valuable. I'm worth it. I'm not trying to prove anything to you. I'm not trying to be everything on my Instagram like the world says I need to be, like you just mentioned, Reese. I love God. I am God's daughter. And here I am. Take it or leave it.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, and I'm kind of jealous of this, you ladies are literally the pinnacle of creation.
Yeah,
like, God made everything. He made the world. He made the stars. He made the universe. He made the plants, the animals, the trees, all this kind of stuff. Made man. And he stopped with you ladies. You are the pinnacle, the last thing that he actually created. Like, godly men will value that in you, and please value that in yourself. Carry yourself like that.
Ugh, I love it, y'all. I wish we could keep going because there's so
many. Wait, I have one more that
ask. Say it.
Okay. I feel like so many girls in the Christian culture are always talking about singleness. Like, I feel like I heard of a group recently that went on like a girl and guy trip, and one of the guys was like, all the girls talked about was singleness. Is that something that is something that y'all are compassionate towards, or you're like, ladies, like, I don't know. I just feel like so many girls
don't do it.
It's a great question. I think if you're talking about your singleness a lot, then it could show that you're discontent and you're not trusting that God has you single for a reason. I think taking the standpoint of like, trusting in the Lord and be like, hey, I am single for a reason, and God is going to use me in my singleness. And hopefully, you know, you eventually get to jump into a relationship, but being discontent in your singleness, you're missing out on a lot of ways that God can use you.
I couldn't agree more. He said it best. I'm just going to let him roll with that right there. Great job, Ross. Come on, baby.
And so, ladies, if you're hearing anything, is that obviously we have two godly men on the podcast. They love the Lord. Obviously, don't take everything that they say as this is the truth. Open up your Bible. Like, if you want clear-cut things, open up God's word. And I think the last thing I want to say is what you guys said of all these red flags. The opposite of, especially what you said, Reese, someone that's self-absorbed, someone that is constantly talking about themselves, whatever. The opposite of that is humility. And the way you become more or humble, and the more that all these red flags disappear, isn't by hearing these men's thoughts and perspectives. It's diving into God's word.
Yeah.
It's knowing the ultimate creator who is humble, who is kind. And so if you're sitting here going, oh my gosh, I have these red flags. First off, give yourself abundance of grace. Like, it's okay. Dive into God's word. Look at the creator of the universe who is the perfect picture of zero red flags. And that will help you not have them anymore.
I love it. Y'all, thank you so much for coming.
Seriously, y'all are awesome.
This has been a blast. Thanks for having us on.
So much fun. We could keep going, but
where can people find you, by the way? I don't know if they don't want to find Grant, but Reese, where can they find you?
Like, in a non-creepy way? Watermark Community Church. Come on.
He's sort of on a porch team, and he is on the sidewalk team. So if you need some prayer, you need some little chit-chat after service, come on down.
Reese is right along. Reese, you're walking in my legacy. That was my team.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't?
Yeah.
You went to Watermark?
Funny.
You're a Christian?
That's funny.
Well, it's to me. How about that?
The verdict's still out. I'm kidding. I'm a 10 out of 10.
Y'all are amazing. Boys, thank you for coming on this podcast. You guys are awesome. Have a great night.